Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by CMN Momentum 2020 Online is the unique event for ministry-minded Catholics. Join us July 15th and 16th and jumpstart your good work for God. This two-day event offers best practice conference presenters and a virtual trade show. Also included are film screenings, music guests, and even a pro-life voter town hall. CMN is where Catholic businesses and nonprofits, leaders and volunteers, are empowered with practical hope and help during these hard times. Visit CatholicMarketing.com and register today. Your Catholic organization can join Catholic Marketing Network so you and four members of your team can attend Momentum 2020 for free. In addition to free access, a $75 CMN membership provides year-round benefits for Catholic schools, nonprofits, church fundraising teams, retailers, and more. Visit CatholicMarketing.com and register, and get ready to build professional and personal momentum.
Is profitability a core value? Profitability is a laudable business goal, and I'm all for profits. But defining profitability as a core value can lead to unintended consequences. In this episode of By Your Life, we talk about cultivating a value-centered culture at work and personally cultivating a Christ-centered heart. Welcome to the 120th episode of By Your Life. I'm Lisa Hademan, and I know you have 100 different things you could be doing right now, so I thank you for choosing By Your Life. My goal is to empower, support, inspire, challenge, and encourage you to connect Sunday with Monday through Friday in a secular business world. It's my desire to help you live our Catholic faith in the marketplace. I hope to offer you practical ways to go forth and glorify the Lord by your life. In this edition, we'll reflect on the readings for the 15th Sunday in Ordinary Time. In our Gospel reading, we heard the parable of the sower. Jesus tells the people about a sower who went out to sow, and as he sowed, some of the seed fell on the path, some fell on rocky ground, some seed fell among thorns, but some seed fell on rich soil. And depending on where the seed landed, birds came and ate it up, or when the sun rose, it was scorched and it withered for lack of roots, or the thorns grew up and choked it, or it produced fruit, 100 or 60 or 30-fold. The seed was the same, but the difference was the soil. That leads me to ask, how is your soil? How is the soil in which your company culture is cultivated? How is the soil of your heart in which the Word of God is received? Jesus said, "The seed sown on the path is the one who hears the word of the kingdom without understanding it, and the evil one comes and steals away what was sown in his heart." In my work with companies who wanted to develop a values-centered culture, there have been several times I've encountered the path. That is, I've been challenged by members of the leadership team who fought the process. Some were vocally opposed, and others were just passive-aggressive. Regardless, they just didn't get it, and they were not willing to learn and change. One client engagement that didn't last long was with a family-owned business. The owner's personal desires and those of his children were totally out of alignment with the needs of the company. None of the family members liked working in the business. They were only there to get their paychecks so they could feed their lifestyles. Some of them routinely came in late, if they came in at all. And when they were there, they pretty much did whatever they wanted. Despite their sloppy work ethic, each sibling felt that they were doing more than the next, polluting the workplace with incessant bickering. For several weeks, I struggled to work with the owner and his leadership team to discern a common vision and shared values. Unfortunately, Values that would benefit both the organization and the individual family members, such as integrity, service, teamwork, or quality, didn't get much traction. At one point, the owner blurted out in frustration, "We have no values." Actually, they did value one thing, profitability. Not organizational profitability, but personal profitability. They all had dreams of a big payday when they could sell the business at a huge profit and each share in the inheritance. Meanwhile, their selfish attitudes and dysfunctional behaviors were damaging the morale of the entire organization, resulting in high employee turnover, poor product quality, and less than stellar financial performance. But none of them were willing to listen, nor could they understand that they were the problem. I also worked with a professional services firm that had been experiencing lackluster results. They engaged me to facilitate a strategic planning process to help get the firm back on track. When I conducted my discovery, it became evident that the divisive behaviors of a couple of employees were infecting the rest of the staff like a cancer, and the bottom line of the firm was suffering. The managing partner was already aware of the problem and had spoken to the two people, but couldn't take disciplinary action because they hadn't done anything illegal and they were achieving their productivity goals. When I asked about the firm's core values, he replied, "We don't have any." The firm, like most professional services firms, was driven by increasing billable hours and focused solely on productivity goals without defining acceptable behaviors and holding each other accountable. So I worked with the partners and the staff to identify the shared core values of the firm, upon which the vision and mission were defined and would become the principles to guide their daily decisions and behaviors. The initial results were very positive, and even the two divisive employees were on board and making positive behavior changes. But then, under pressure to fill a vacancy, the partner decided to hire someone who lied about their current employment status, which was a violation of the firm's core value of honesty. He justified his decision by saying that he understood why someone would want to lead you to believe they were still employed when they'd been laid off. But by compromising on the firm's core values, he sent a message that billable hours were still the number one priority, undermining the positive changes underway. Jesus said, "The seed sown on rocky ground is the one who hears a word and receives it at once with joy, but he has no root and lasts only for a time. When some tribulation or persecution comes because of the word, he immediately falls away." For this firm, billable hours, however achieved, were the rocks in the way of cultivating a values-centered culture. When I interviewed CEOs for my book, The Value of Core Values, I encountered a few executives whose values included profitability. But is profitability a core value? Profitability is a laudable business goal. Without profits, a company cannot continue to serve its customers, employ its people, reward its investors, and contribute to its community. I'm all for profits, but defining profitability as a core value can lead to problems. When a company faces difficult decisions that impact profits, the core value of profitability will trump their other core values every time. Jesus said, "The seed sown among the thorns is the one who hears the word, but then worldly anxiety and the lure of riches choke the word, and it bears no fruit." The pursuit of short-term profitability at the expense of other core values are thorns that choke the long-term growth of a business because it impacts relationships with employees, customers, suppliers, and the communities in which it lives. By definition, values reflect what you believe is right, not merely what you think is profitable. If you try to live core values based on their profitability, you will toss them overboard whenever they seem to be unreasonable or impractical. Disposable values are not really core values at all. They're simply policies, and somewhat flexible ones at that. True core values, on the other hand, are beyond compromise. They are so fundamentally a part of your company's identity that you will not deviate from them, ever. But positive core values must be cultivated. The CEO, with the collaboration and buy-in of other leaders within the organization, must take responsibility for defining, sharing, institutionalizing, and honoring them. They must do the necessary work to till the soil of their organizations to make it fertile. In fact, I would argue that cultivating core values, first individually and then organizationally, is the primary responsibility of every leader in an organization. In my book, The Value of Core Values, successful CEOs shared their perspective of the value of core values. Their businesses represent a number of different industries. Some are small and others are relatively large. Some are privately owned, while others are publicly traded. Nevertheless, all these leaders share one thing in common. In spite of the typical fears and struggles, which they readily acknowledged, they have remained firmly committed to their values. Jesus said, "The seed sown on rich soil is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields 100 or 60 or 30-fold. But does adherence to core values always result in maximum profits? The CEOs who shared their stories with me acknowledged that sometimes it doesn't, at least in the short term. But all these leaders talked about the non-monetary rewards of living their core values. Several called these intangible benefits priceless. Sleeping well at night, having the satisfaction of knowing you've done the right thing, receiving a Christmas card from a difficult customer you've treated as you would like to be treated, or experiencing the joy of introducing a person to Christ. These are all practical examples of priceless rewards. Although I believe that living core values promotes maximum business success, and my definition of business success includes profitability, I've observed that organizations that benefit most from living their core values tend to find success in light of their values. They're working for rewards that are substantially greater than profitability alone. The greatest value of core values is ultimately in the values themselves. But not everybody understands this concept. Not everyone lives a value-centered life. We don't have to look far to find people whose egos get in their way. They are hardened by their limiting beliefs and are unwilling to listen, learn, and change. Self-righteousness and pride harden their hearts to the truth that offers an opportunity for growth. We all have rocks we cling to that keep us from making positive changes in our lives. I heard a story about a young man who was witnessing to a fraternity brother about how Jesus had changed his life. The friend asked him, "If I follow Jesus, can I still hang out in bars and chase women?" The young man responded, "As much as you want to, knowing that accepting Jesus will change the desires of your heart." We all have bad habits, addictions, or toxic relationships that we are attached to that keep us from deepening our relationship with Christ. When some tribulation comes, we fall away because our faith has no roots. Or we live our lives chasing after worldly riches or troubled by the cares of this world. Our priorities are not rightly ordered with God as number one. And when riches don't satisfy or our troubles materialize, we forget the one who loved us into being and from whom all good things come. Jesus warns that to anyone who has, more will be given, and he will grow rich. From anyone who has not, even what he has will be taken away. The one who does not accept the revealed mystery, God will take it away. So just as a farmer prepares his land for planting in the spring, we must do the necessary work to make our hearts ready to receive God's word, Jesus. It takes effort to pull weeds, remove rocks, and break the hardened soil of our hearts. Prayer, frequent reception of the sacraments of reconciliation and Eucharist, and the grace of forgiven sin fertilize our hearts so God can work in us and through us. The prophet Isaiah said, "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but shall do what pleases me, achieving the end for which I sent it." And so, if we want to glorify the Lord by our lives, we just need to prepare our hearts to receive the word, and God will do the rest. So this week, till your soil, and God will bless you abundantly, and you will glorify the Lord by your life. If you like this episode, spread the word. You know what to do. You can forward, share, or click to post on our website at byyourlife.com, where you can also check out the resources page and find a link to the books and other resources mentioned in this and other episodes of By Your Life. And I'm always interested in what you think, so give me some feedback by leaving a comment.
BritBox Media Programming is brought to you by...
I actually met my wife on CatholicSingles.com, if you can believe that.
Really?
Yes, I had never done that before. Didn't have any problems with dating.
Natalie and Aaron met on CatholicSingles.com after they realized that they needed to find someone who shared their faith. Meet other faithful Catholics on the original Catholic dating site. Download our app today for free. Looking for a way to build daily prayer discipline? Seen the rise in mindfulness meditation, but not sure if it is possible to meditate in a way that's consistent with your Catholic faith? Just looking for a way to breathe new life into your existing prayer routine? No matter what you're looking for, Hollow is here to help. Hollow is a Catholic prayer and meditation app that helps users deepen their relationship with God through audio-guided contemplative prayer sessions. From meditations on the daily gospel, to the rosary, to daily examines, Hollow has something for everyone. Hollow is the number one Catholic app in the U.S. It is free to download and has permanently free content, but you can also check out all of the premium sessions for 30 days, risk-free, by signing up at www.hollow.app/breadbox.